Chapter 19. A man called Uwe, and a cat that was broken when he came. Uwe spent most of yesterday shouting at Parvana that this damned cat would live in Uwe's house over his dead body. And now, here he stands, looking at the cat. And the cat looks back. And Uwe remains strikingly non-dead. It's all incredibly irritating. A half dozen times, Uwe woke up in the night when the cat, with more than a little disrespect, crawled up and stretched out next to him in the bed. And just as many times, the cat woke up when Uwe, with more than a bit of brusqueness, booted it down to the floor again. Now, when it's gone 5:45 and Uwe has got up, the cat is sitting in the middle of the kitchen floor. It sports a disgruntled expression, as if Uwe owes it money. Uwe stares back at it with a suspicion normally reserved for a cat that has rung his doorbell with a Bible in its paws like a Jehovah's Witness. "I suppose you're expecting food," mutters Uwe at last. The cat doesn't answer. It just nibbles its remaining patches of fur and nonchalantly licks one of its paw pads. "But in this house you don't just lounge about like some kind of consultant and expect fried sparrows to fly into your mouth." Uwe goes to the sink, turns on the coffee maker, checks his watch, looks at the cat. After leaving Jimmy at the hospital, Parvana had managed to get hold of a friend who was apparently a veterinarian. The veterinarian had come to have a look at the cat and concluded that there was serious frostbite and advanced malnutrition. And then he'd given Uwe a long list of instructions about what the cat needed to eat and its general care.
"I'm not running a cat repair company," Uwe clarifies to the cat. "You're only here because I couldn't talk any sense into that pregnant woman."
He nods across the living room towards the window facing onto Parvana's house. The cat, busying itself trying to lick one of its eyes, does not reply. Uwe holds up 4 little socks towards it. He was given them by the veterinarian. Apparently, the cat annoyance needs exercise more than anything, and this is something Uwe feels he may be able to help it achieve. The farther from his wallpaper those claws are, the better. That's Uwe's reasoning.
"Hop into these things, and then we can go. I'm running late."
The cat gets up, elaborately, and walks with long, self-conscious steps towards the door, as if walking on a red carpet. It gives the socks an initial skeptical look, but doesn't cause too much of a fuss when Uwe quite roughly puts them on. When he's done, Uwe stands up and scrutinizes the cat from top to bottom. Shakes his head. A cat wearing socks. It can't be natural. The cat, now standing there checking out its new outfit, suddenly looks immeasurably pleased with itself. Uwe makes an extra loop to the end of the pathway. Outside Anita in Rune's house, he picks up a cigarette butt. He rolls it between his fingers. That scoted driving man from the council seems to drive about in these parts as if he owned them. Uwe swears and puts the butt in his pocket. When they get back to the house, Uwe reluctantly feeds the wretched animal and, once it's finished, announces that they've got errands to run. He may have been temporarily press-ganged into cohabiting with this little creature, but he'll be damned if he's going to leave a wild animal on its own in his house. So, the cat has to come with him. Immediately, there's a disagreement between Uwe and the cat about whether or not the cat should sit on a sheet of newspaper in the Saab's passenger seat. At first, Uwe sets the cat on 2 supplements of entertainment news, which the cat, much insulted, kicks onto the floor with its back feet. It makes itself comfortable on the soft upholstery. At this, Uwe firmly picks up the cat by the scruff of its neck, so that the cat hisses at him in a not-so-passive-aggressive manner, while Uwe shoves 3 cultural supplements and book reviews under him. The cat gives him a furious look. Uwe puts it down, but oddly enough, it stays on the newspaper and only looks out of the window with a wounded, dismal expression. Uwe concludes that he's won the battle, nods with satisfaction, puts the Saab into gear and drives onto the main road. Only then does the cat slowly and deliberately drag its claws in a long tear across the newsprint, and then put both its front paws through the rip, while at the same time giving Uwe a highly challenging look, as if to ask, "And what are you going to do about it?" Uwe slams on the brakes of the Saab, so that the cat, shocked, is thrown forward and bangs its nose against the dashboard.
That's what I have to say about it, Uva's triumphant expression seems to say.
After that, the cat refuses to look at Uva for the rest of the journey, and just sits hunched up in a corner of the seat, rubbing its nose with one of its paws in a very offended way. But while Uva is inside the florist's, it licks long, wet streaks across Uva's steering wheel, safety belt, and the inside of Uva's car door. When Uva comes back with the flowers and discovers that his whole car is full of cat saliva, he waves his forefinger in a threatening manner, as if it were a scimitar. And then the cat bites his scimitar. Uva refuses to speak to him for the rest of the journey. When they get to the churchyard, Uva plays it safe and scrunches up the remains of the newspaper into a ball, with which he roughly pushes the cat out of the car. Then he gets the flowers out of the trunk, locks the Saab with his key, makes a circuit around it, and checks each of the doors. Together they climb the frozen graveled slope leading up to the church turnoff and force their way through the snow before they stop by Sonia. Uva brushes some snow off the gravestone with the back of his hand and gives the flowers a little shake. I brought some flowers with me, he mumbles. Pink, which you like. They say they die in the frost, but they only tell you that to trick you into buying the more expensive ones. The cat sinks down on its behind in the snow. Uva gives it a sullen look, then refocuses on the gravestone. Right, right. This is the cat annoyance. It's living with us now, almost froze to death outside our house. The cat gives Uva an offended look. Uva clears his throat. He looked like that when he came, he clarifies, a sudden defensive note in his voice. Then, with a nod at the cat and the gravestone, so it wasn't me who broke him, he was already broken, he adds to Sonia. Both the gravestone and the cat wait in silence beside him. Uva stares at his shoes for a moment, grunts, sinks onto his knees in the snow and brushes a bit more snow off the stone, carefully lays his hand on it.
I miss you, he whispers.
There's a quick gleam in the corner of Uva's eye. He feels something soft against his arm. It takes a few seconds before he realizes that the cat is gently resting its head in the palm of his hand.